You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
CBS Sports Radio.
I just want to thank you guys for all of your support for all these years, and I've just been extremely fortunate to be able to play the game that I love and be in the NBA for more than half my life. And it's a thrill for me to be here in this All-Star game, so thank you for voting me in. And I get a chance to be around these young players here who, when I first started playing, most of them were my kids' age now. So it feels so good to be able to speak to them about the game and to be able to share some of the knowledge that I've learned throughout my career to them, and so that they can carry on the tradition of the NBA and hopefully play 20 years themselves. So thank you so much. And now I got to go get loose. Thank you.
Ryan on the drive. Banker is good. A number of Laker fans that have been here throughout the arena ready to celebrate a championship. There's the final seconds. As the buzzer sounds, it's official. The Lakers are NBA champions once again. LA wins the 2009 NBA title.
I refuse to believe it because Magic is my hero. Like, you know, I don't think you guys truly understand how much of a diehard fan I was, like a Laker fan. Like, dude, it was like, you know, Magic was all over my wall. You know, I used to wear really big knee pads because Magic wore really big knee pads. You know what I mean? I used to practice the baby hook. Like, and so he is and always will be number one for me. Always.
That was Kobe after Magic had called him the greatest Laker ever. Welcome back, DA, with you on a very somber DA show today. Thanks for being with us on a difficult day for everybody involved in the show and everybody listening, I'm sure, to the show as well. It's appreciated that you guys have weighed in and lit up the phones and tweeted in as well your thoughts on the passing of Kobe, because I think it's so hard for so many people, and including us, that the community strength that you have from hearing other voices go through the same thing you do really helps. So that's why I want to encourage as many of you as possible to call us up and give us your thoughts and what you've gone through processing this over the last couple of hours and since yesterday and your memories of Kobe. I think it's important. So our phone number is toll-free. It's 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, or on Twitter, DA on CBS. An hour from now, Ian Eagle is going to join us, one of the voices of the NBA on the passing of Kobe. Kobe's career is so interesting. It is so interesting. Because Kobe's career begins by being the brash, self-involved, egotistical wannabe Michael. He pushed a lot of people away because of that. Oh, he's just trying to be Michael. And if you listen to his sound bites when he's 18, 19, 20 years old, he is saying exactly what Michael would say. And he's even got the same cadence and the same answers and sometimes the same voice that it felt like he's just putting on an act. He's just trying to be Michael. He'll never be Michael. And remember, this is 96, 97, 98. I was actually at the 1996 NBA draft as a fan when he got drafted. This is the tail end of Michael's great run, his second great run with the Bulls. And so just trying to be Michael in every single way was off-putting for a lot of people. Imagine if Patrick Mahomes came into the league and just was trying to be Tom Brady, and every answer was what Tom Brady would say, and everything that he wore was what Tom Brady would say, and he just kind of openly admitted, I'm just trying to be Tom Brady. And what we couldn't have known then was that Kobe was channeling this because this was his vision of greatness, and he knew he had greatness within him. He was refusing to accept that he would not be great, and so this was how you're great. Michael's great. I'll be great. I'll be Michael. 2 + 2 = 4 there. And, of course, so much of his game was modeled after Michael's game, but as he grew and as he evolved as a basketball player, Kobe's game became his own game, and he sounded more and more like himself, and he became Kobe Bryant. And today, I would argue that Kobe would elicit a different grief, bereavement from fans than Michael would. I would say that people feel a closer connection to Kobe personally than they do Michael Jordan. Now, of course, Michael, upon his passing one day, hopefully very, very far in the future, people would obviously talk about his greatness as a basketball player, his dominance, his 6 rings, his NBA finals, MVPs, all these unbelievable, impeccable moments of pure basketball perfection. But I would say that I don't think people would connect with him on a personal level the same way so many people connect with Kobe. And the reason I say that is not because one is a greater human being than the other, is only because I think Kobe showed us more vulnerability along the way. I think, yeah, Kobe trying to be Mike at one point was, oh, okay, here's the next kid trying to be Michael Jordan. But through his failures, you know, he did not win every NBA Finals. He lost in a crushing fashion to the 04 Pistons. He had the Eagle Colorado incident. He lost to the Celtics in the 08 NBA Finals. He had a divorce from Shaq. Shaq openly taunted him on stage, rapping about him, taunting Kobe. Phil saying, I can't coach you. I'm out of here. And then at the end of his career, the Achilles. And at his age, how do you come back from that? And then to see this kind of open gratitude towards the sport and towards the fans and towards everything that happened to Kobe in his life, and then to come full circle in recent years and become this kind of warm, I hate to call him a grandfather because he was 41 years old, but there was kind of an older brother, wise uncle type of vibe to him around other players, that Michael still has a veneer. Michael still has the impenetrable force around him. I think Kobe let that down. I think Kobe dropped that the last couple of years, and it allowed people in, and he just seemed so human. And so yesterday was really difficult to process, and I'm only still processing this on the fly. So if anything that I say doesn't really quite make sense, it's because I'm kind of constantly trying to figure out where I am standing and how I feel about all of this. But is that Kobe was simultaneously invincible and really vulnerable. Yesterday felt earth-shattering because nothing should ever take down Kobe. He's Kobe Bryant. And at the same time, it is such a loss because he just felt like he was part of us. He did not have the wall up anymore. I, of course, none of us could have expected this could happen, but I, if you would have told me on Saturday this was going to happen, how do you think you'll feel? I would not have predicted it would affect me as deeply as it has. And I wasn't a huge Kobe Bryant fan per se, but the way that it happened, the timing of it, how it happened, what was still left in his life, him being with his daughter at that time, his bond with his daughter, what she could have accomplished in her life, leaving behind the 3 other daughters and his wife in this, and knowing how he connected with so many people in so many different ways, levels, and realms, has left me quite broken. And I appreciate everybody that has weighed in this morning because it has made this show much better. And I've appreciated hearing from all of you this morning. So thanks for that. And please continue it at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Here was Dwayne Wade on Instagram last night.
Today is one of the saddest days in my lifetime. It seems like a bad dream. You just want to wake up from. It's a nightmare. We have so many moments that he's given us. We're so thankful for those moments. I'm thankful for those moments, man. This is one of my favorite players. And I got a chance to have a relationship, a friendship. But I would miss him. I would miss the friendship.
Really gut-wrenching reactions from so many corners of the NBA universe. And, of course, Dwayne Wade. Very close to Kobe. LeBron has not spoken publicly, has not tweeted about it, but was photographed, filmed on the tarmac yesterday hearing the news and needing to be consoled and kind of walking, as you could tell, in his own kind of cloud of emotion, understandably so. Just a really devastating day, I'm sure, for those that were really close to him in the basketball world. Really devastating for everybody. Larry is next up. He's in Myrtle Beach listening to CBS Sports Radio there. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, DA. I just want to let you know, we have a tournament here in Myrtle Beach that's called the Beach Ball Classic. It's been going on for years. And everybody was talking about this kid who was coming named Kobe Bryant. I was like, who? They said, yeah, man, this kid is amazing. Well, I was lucky enough to get tickets and sit in the stands and see him play. And it was like something, like, it truly was amazing. But, of course, that was against other high school kids. He was like a senior, right? And then, of course, you know, he went to the Lakers. You know, we thought we would get him in Charlotte. And every time I remember seeing Kobe play, you know, all I remember is going, wow, I could have never predicted that this guy was going to be that good. I mean, he went from playing against high school players to playing against the best players in the world. And sometimes he made them look like he was playing against those high school kids. That's just how good he was.
No doubt. Kobe Bryant, as a high school player, obviously was next level, enough so to be drafted by the NBA right out of high school when that was allowed. But also, remember, began making All-Star games by year number two. Finished with 18 All-Star game appearances. It was very evident right from his rookie season, oh, Kobe's different. And you could only imagine how dominant he would have been as a basketball player in college had he gone to college. Because right off the bat, he just had a precociousness in the NBA that you realized that he was at a different level. And his self-belief was unwavering. And I think that's something that a lot of people resonated with. Because it's hard, I think, in life to always believe that, you know, you're going to do something great. A lot of people have a lot of difficulty in just believing in themselves. And not only did Kobe believe in himself, I mean, he was defiant. Oh, I will be great. Oh, I'm going to be great. This is not a question of if. It's a question of when. And more than likely, when is going to be now. And I will absolutely do everything in my power to be great. And we saw that it was so transparent. It was so obvious. He wore that on his sleeve. And he did it from a very early age. I will be great. And he did it. I mean, he kind of declared it. He called his shot and he did it. And that's a really incredible quality, incredible trait that Kobe had, that he just willed himself to greatness and always knew this is what is going to happen. Richard is next up in Arkansas, listening at 92.1 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Rich.
How you doing, RDA?
I'm All right, tough morning, but I appreciate the phone call.
I've been listening since you got on the air this morning, and you've said some really good stuff. One of my favorite words you used was maniacal. To me, that's what separated Kobe and Mike from everybody else pretty much. Nobody had it like those two guys. I give Mike the slight edge because he's exactly the same today as he was then. And Kobe, obviously, like you said, softens slightly, at least showed some humanity later on. But, you know, I'm 43, and so I got a chance to see both these guys from start to finish. And, you know, in 94 when I graduated, every kid in the country wanted to look like Mike when they shot a turnaround jump shot. You know, nobody looked more beautiful than Mike shooting a turnaround. But, man, Kobe got really close, dude.
Yeah.
You know, and you can never say that he maybe surpassed Mike. But, again, you know, like you said, coming in at 18, I was definitely in the camp that you talked about. This kid, here's the next. I'm going to be Mike guy. You know, you got Harold Miner, you got J.R. Ryder, you got a few other guys that, you know, going to be Mike. And here's this Kobe kid. He's just the next in line. Well, by golly, he might not have passed it, but he got dead gun close. You know, the thing I keep coming back to, man, is he was such a freak when it came to attention to detail. It's just, it just sounds so improbable that he would get on a helicopter that hadn't had like a 2,000-point checklist detailed on it the moment first stepped on it. You know. And I just, obviously, the images, you know, when the news first came out, it seemed like it was unclear what members of his family may or may not have been aboard. And so you heard the news, and you thought, oh, God, Toby's gone. And then you thought, oh, God, it's even worse. His kids were there. And I read somewhere an article in the moments immediately afterwards that his kids were not there. And so you kind of took a deep breath of sigh, you know, thank God for that. And then, of course, you come and find out that one of his daughters was there. You know, my daughter was born in 96 on the 23rd of January, and of course her middle name is Jordan. And so that image of him and the daughter and all the families and the thing together going down is just obviously it's something that just shakes you. And as a parent, you think, what worse is there? You know, what worse is there? So, you know, your heart goes out to him, but, man, he gave us some great images and some great memories, and I have no doubt that the rest of his kids are gonna honor his image, and my thoughts with all those guys, and thanks for your service.
My pleasure, Richard. Thanks for the phone call. Yeah, yesterday was harrowing to not know the details of the accident, as information may or may not have been correct that passed through social media, and learning about Gigi was that next gut punch. Eric tweets, I feel like I'm on the verge of sobbing every 5 seconds. Aside from Jordan, was there a more fierce competitor than Kobe? I can't think of one. I never thought a celebrity's death would make me feel like this. I think there's a lot of people feeling that way today. And yeah, Kobe and Mike, from a competitive standpoint, those guys had a burning desire that just was unmatched. I appreciate all of the phone calls and all of the tweets today. I appreciate you remembering Kobe with us here on the show, mourning, remembering, processing, honoring. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS if you'd like to join. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. One of the interesting turns in Kobe's career has been him rectifying his relationship with Shaq, and he had an interesting conversation about what he learned actually in his relationship with Shaq. I want to play that audio coming up for you next. DA Damon Amendolara here on CBS Sports Radio.
Top of the game, and then as soon as I touched the ball and he booed, I was like, oh, I'm home. You know, it felt great.
Kobe's second free throw, good. He has 60. The Lakers lead by 3. Here we go. Utah needs a 3 to tie it. Hayward driving down the middle all the way to the rim, laying up, no good. Rebound grab. Kobe's got it. Length of the court pass to Clarkson. Clarkson at the rim. Slam dunk. Game in the refrigerator. And the Lakers are going to win on Kobe's last night. He's going to score 60. And I don't believe what I just saw.
When we came in, we were just young kids that just wanted to play. And AI was aggressive. And, you know, it was a newer generation, newer culture. But I think where the game ended up, it ended up in a beautiful place. And David Stern changed the dress code somewhere in between that. That helped, I think. And but, you know, I think the game's in a beautiful place now.
Kobe Bryant saying it was great to be booed in his final trip back to Boston before he retired a couple of years ago. Welcome back. A different kind of DA show today. Somber one, remembering Kobe Bryant. Damon Amendolara with you each and every morning, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern time right here on CBS Sports Radio. And our toll-free line today, which is open for you guys, and I've really appreciated all of the phone calls that we've gotten so far on the day of how you guys have processed and remembered Kobe, is toll-free at 855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Our friend and peer, John Kincaid, hosts a podcast with Shaq called The Big Podcast. And not long ago, Kobe came by and shared some thoughts long form with Shaq. And you think about Kobe and Shaq's very combative relationship at the end of their tenure in Los Angeles and this hyper-competitive rivalry that they had personally throughout the rest of their careers. And Kobe actually talked about what he had learned from Shaq during their years together.
Shaq taught me how to lead because he's amazing. You can see, you know, as he is now, right? He's really outgoing, very gregarious. He puts his arm around guys. He always checks in with guys, always making sure that they're good. So I learned that from him because I naturally wasn't like that.
And I learned from Kobe that Kobe was a guy that whatever he said he was going to do from age 18, he was going to do it. I knew that from Kobe because me and Kobe, we came in together. We played on the team. We had a lot of upcoming superstars, but we were in Utah. Utah used to kill us all the time. Only one guy wanted to take the shot. I didn't want to take the shot. Nobody wanted to take a shot. This guy took three major shots. He shot air balls, and I knew then, I was like, you know what? This guy's not afraid. He's going to be the man. So I knew that when I got in trouble, when I wasn't playing well, I knew that you know, he was going to say to himself, Shaq's not playing well. I have to step up my game.
Three air balls from Kobe in a crucial situation against a rival was nothing. He still wanted to take that fourth shot. And that self-belief put him into that next rarefied air of greatness. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. Brad is in Detroit, listening on 1270 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Brad.
Hey, DA. Thanks so much for taking my call, man.
My pleasure.
Being here in Detroit, one of my biggest sports moments, you know, was when the Pistons beat the Lakers. And I'll tell you, you know, I took a lot of satisfaction in watching the Pistons beat that team with Kobe and Shaq and all that stuff. But, it dissipates fairly quickly, over the years once you realize who Kobe was and then watching him play and all that stuff. You know, I still have good memories of that championship, but everyone grew to respect Kobe so much in his game. And one of the things I keep thinking about today is a lot of people, you know, I think a lot of people that don't follow sports, oh, you know, you do follow sports, what are you, 15? It's just a game, you know, things like that. I wonder if a lot of those people today realize how big of a sports family we are because of people like Kobe. You know, this game is what gave us, you know, these larger-than-life personalities like Kobe Bryant. And I tell you what, excuse me, it's great hearing everyone calling in today because I've never really felt more part of our sports family today, you know, after losing someone like him. And, of course, all my been praying for him and the other people that were lost in the tragic, in that crash. And someone else I've been thinking about today is Jim Rome. I just can't imagine how hard it's going to be for him to do his show today, being an L.A. guy, as Jim is. And I just tell you what, it's a it's a good solace feeling though, being part of this big sports family and everyone coming together today. So,
yeah, I know what you mean, Brad. Thank you for the phone call. That's why I really appreciate it. I thank you, everybody that called in today, that has called in, that will call in, because I don't think you just want to hear me for 4 hours. I think, you know, when you lose somebody, the wake is when people come together and they feel that support and they feel that family and they feel that community of everybody kind of picking up one another and everybody's sharing the same type of grief and going through it together. And I think yesterday kind of felt everybody, I mean, how could you not feel alone in that moment, because you just don't know how to deal with it. And then today to really hear everybody talking about it and to see it, some on social media last night and some on television. And that was the one thing that struck me. I obviously was impressed by the natural broadcasters, the professional broadcasters that delivered the news. But the thing that really struck me were the regular, average, everyday Joes that were fans that were just emoting around the tributes to Kobe around Los Angeles, and hearing those voices were really powerful. So I'm glad that we were able to hear many of those here on this show today as well. And I agree with you, you know, people could be very dismissive when you tell them that you are a huge sports fan. I mean, could you imagine me? I mean, I've dedicated my life to being in sports. And so you could only imagine, you know, some of the looks that you get. Oh, okay, right. You talk about sports for 4 hours a day and you're a grown adult. Okay, yeah, I get it. But one of the things that I really love about sports, that I believe that it's about more than sports, is because of the bond. It's because it's a community, because it's the one unifying thing we have in this country right now is that sports unifies. And so something as tragic as the passing of Kobe does the same thing in a really unfortunate way. It's that everybody kind of comes together because we're all sharing in the same grief. So yesterday was so difficult, still is. I mean, I think we're all still trying to walk through this, and but at least doing it together makes it slightly easier, because you can understand that other people are feeling the same exact way that you are, and you're hearing that and reading that. So thanks for that. And your phone number, if you want to jump in to be part of this conversation, is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or tweet me, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, Carmelo Anthony, close to Kobe. We'll hear from Carmelo coming up here next. Ian Eagle's also going to join us at the top of the hour, one of the leading voices of the NBA, to discuss Kobe Bryant's legacy as well. Andrew Bogish, my good friend, is standing by with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch and save pay an average of $796 less per year. Call or click today and find out if we could save you hundreds on your car insurance. Hawks guard Trae Young had grown close to Kobe Bryant, partly because Young was Gianna Bryant's favorite player. Young wore a special number 8 Hawks jersey to start yesterday's game with the Wizards, then scored 45 points with 14 assists. Young scored those 45 points on 24 shots, which was Kobe's other jersey number. He shot 81% from the free throw line. Kobe scored 81 against the Raptors back in 2006. And Young is the first player with a 45-point double-double on fewer than 25 shots against the Wizards since Kobe. All of that from LarryBrownSports.com. Now, that game, like the other ones yesterday, began with teams trading violations to honor Kobe's jersey numbers. The Hawks taking an 8-second backcourt call, then the Wizards let the 24-second shot clock run out. Celtics guard Jaylen Brown, one of the many young NBA players that grew up wanting to be Kobe.
He carried himself like a champion in everything he did, and that mindset is still going to remain forever. That Mamba mentality is going to be around forever.
Brown speaking after Boston's 123-108 loss in New Orleans. Zion Williamson, 21 points and 11 rebounds in 21 minutes in his first NBA win. The Blazers beat the Pacers 139-129. The Clippers won in Orlando 112-97. And the Knicks beat the Nets 110-97. Brooklyn guard Kyrie Irving so distraught over losing Kobe, he did not play. All 9 victims from yesterday have now been identified. In addition to Kobe and 13-year-old Gigi, there was also Christina Mauser, a local elementary school coach. The group was traveling to a game. The Pro Bowl started yesterday afternoon, right after we heard what had happened. Some players mimicked Kobe's trademark fallaway jumper to show their love. The AFC won 38-33, extending its All-Star game win streak to 4. Lamar Jackson the offensive MVP after throwing two touchdowns. Now the NFL's focus is fully on Super Bowl 54. The Chiefs and Niners arrived in Miami yesterday. Tonight they meet the media at Marlins Park. The NFLPA reportedly meeting with its board of player reps on Thursday morning for a CBA update. The players and the league want to avoid a work stoppage, but players continue to speak out against the 17-game regular season, which the league wants for its own new TV deals and as a trade-off for increasing the players' share of revenues. The current CBA expires after next season. Tiger Woods finished tied for ninth at 9-under at Torrey Pines, but that's his best finish in his first event of a year since 2012. Mark Leishman got a one-shot win over Jon Rahm. Rory McIlroy was three shots back. Rafael Nadal with a four-set win over Nick Kyrgios in the fourth round of the Australian Open. And fourth-ranked San Diego State, still unbeaten, now 21-0 after a 71-67 W at UNLV. This is the best start and the longest winning streak in Aztecs history. D.A.?
Thank you, Andrew. So we know Kobe's legendary work ethic, but how about this little factoid? Kobe, in the offseason, went by the 6-6-6 method, okay? So this is out of the actual NBA season. In the offseason, he would work out 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, 6 months a year. That was the offseason for Kobe. So if he had 6 months off in between basketball seasons, 6 days a week, 6 hours a day for those 6 months to get ready for the NBA season. That's how you will yourself to greatness. Looking forward to getting back to your phone calls here after the break. Also, we will hear from Carmelo Anthony after the passing of Kobe Bryant. D.A., Damon Amendolara here on CBS Sports Radio.
I grew up a diehard, a diehard Laker fan. Diehard. I knew everything about every player that's ever played here. So to be drafted and then traded to this organization and to spend 20 years here, you can't write something better than this.
The ovation for Kobe Bryant, who is being substituted for and is being hugged all around by both teams. Moment for Kobe.
Growing up and watching all these great players play and learning so much from them, to now be a part of that wall, means everything to me.
Kobe Bryant left us far too soon at 41 years old yesterday. Of course, his daughter Gigi at only 13 years old and everybody else on that helicopter. Been a difficult couple of hours yesterday, throughout the night and into this morning. But I thank you for making us part of what I'm sure is a pretty emotional morning for you and everybody, because I don't think anybody was prepared for that yesterday. And it's been really difficult to process. It really feels very surreal ever since then. So thanks for sharing your day with us. And thanks for all the phone calls about Kobe over the course of this morning. I think hearing other voices has really been wonderful for other listeners and myself included, just to hear everybody's voice out there, to know that, you know, what everyone feels is not a solo mission. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. It's toll free, 855-212-4227. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You can submit your question for the Ask the Pros segment later on in the show. DA on CBS of the Twitter handle. Let's hear from Carmelo Anthony yesterday after he learned of the passing of Kobe.
Our friendship and relationship was deeper than basketball. It was family. It was a friendship. It was basketball was the last piece of connective tissue between us two.
Hard also to watch the Grammys go down last night at the Staples Center. The musicians, the artists yesterday preparing for the Grammys are preparing as they're learning that Kobe passed away, and they're doing this as the arena crew is starting to look at how to adjust Kobe's jerseys in the rafters. To have last night at the Staples Center, the home of Kobe Bryant for so many seasons, where his championship banners hang, where his jerseys hang, was also kind of a remarkable moment of serendipity. But yesterday was so unforeseen in its magnitude, I think, for a lot of us, where we've had athletes pass away before, but the Kobe news was different, I guess, because of how it happened, because of the tragedy of the accident, also because that Kobe's life was so far from over, that there was so much more for Kobe to experience and to contribute. It was so obvious that his post-playing career was going to be as exciting for him as his basketball career. And there are few athletes that ever transition that way and really feel invigorated and rejuvenated and fulfilled every day post-playing. I mean, what could ever live up to that type of moment, of that type of adrenaline rush? But he seemed to be finding that. And also to be coaching, I mean, his daughter's girls basketball team is such an amazing image, to think of the Mamba coaching, you know, 11 and 12 and 13 year old girls. It's just, it is so tragic in so many ways. And it feels like everybody was just robbed of another number of decades of beauty from Kobe, what he was going to contribute. It just leaves all of us feeling so hollow. Eric is next up in New Mexico, listening on 610 there to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Fighting through it. How you doing?
Oh, man, it's been rough. Actually, I'm 40 years old, so I got to grow up seeing Mike and Kobe play both their careers fully. Honestly, I was a big Michael Jordan fan growing up, just the era I was in. I remember Kobe coming into the league, and like one of the last callers stated, him being the next supposed to be Michael Jordan after J.R. Ryder, Harold Miner, all these other guys had failed to do so. And he didn't surpass him, but he definitely got super close. I actually got to meet Kobe Bryant here in Albuquerque at a restaurant. Every year here in Albuquerque, they have NBA exhibition games, being that we don't have an NBA sports team here. So a couple years, that year was the Dallas Mavericks and the Los Angeles Lakers, but the irony of it was that Kobe had a broken wrist that year. So when we're sitting inside the restaurant, Ronald Harper, Robert Horry, Brian Shaw, Kobe Bryant all walk into the restaurant. It's about 10 o'clock at night, the night before their game. Everybody swarms the table. So I kind of gave him a little bit of time before I went to the table to ask for an autograph. I went over there as they had just got their food, and Kobe sitting right to my right in the booth. So I handed him the paper, and I said, "Excuse me, sorry to bother you guys. Can I get your autograph?" And he goes, "Sorry about that. We just got our food. Let us eat. Come back after." And I said, "No problem." Couldn't have been more gracious. And I let them eat, do their thing. About an hour later, I went back. I said, "Sorry to bother you guys again. I'm just a big fan of yours. Would you mind signing my autograph?" So I got the autograph signed with his cast on it, Kobe number 8, with other superstars. But it was just so ironic yesterday looking at that autograph on my wall and getting the news coming in. And I felt so empty. I just had to call somebody. I didn't know who to call. So I called my 16-year-old daughter, who's a basketball player and one of my best friends. And she was at work. And I didn't even know what to say. I was like at a loss for words. It was so strange to have such a visceral effect to a superstar, celebrity, someone I don't know, but it was just so deeply impacting, and oh man, it just took my breath away. It honestly took my breath away, and even today, just hearing all these people has been so therapeutic for me, because I just have so many questions, so many thoughts, so many emotions that have gone unanswered, and you know, not too many people to talk to, because the sports community is kind of big but small. When you're a 40-year-old man and you follow sports as avidly as I do, you do get some snickers and some jeers from people thinking, okay, it's a kid's game, whatever, but you know, I'm very passionate about sports. But, yeah, I just want to thank you for taking my call and just to express, you know, the thanks for Kobe, and just send all my prayers out to his family and all the other families who lost people yesterday also. I mean, one life shouldn't be more valuable than any others. Unfortunately, sometimes it is. And there were 8 other people on that helicopter, including his 13-year-old daughter, which, like you said, was the final gut punch. And I just want to thank you for being here today to take these phone calls. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure, Eric. I really appreciate that phone call as well. That's a neat story. And yeah, the passing of Kobe has brought the sports community pretty close. So if there is some type of silver lining, I suppose we can take solace in that. But it was
you know, one of those moments where you will always remember where you were when you heard the news and who you heard it from and how you heard it and how you learned of it and how you dealt with it at that moment in time. I will never, ever, ever forget that exit off the highway that we pulled off of because I couldn't believe it. And I just needed some time because I was driving with my wife and I couldn't believe it. I just simply couldn't believe it. I looked at my phone in total awe. This can't be, this obviously can't be real. And I was kind of trying to trick myself that it was not real. Aaron's next up. He's in Vegas listening on 1140 there. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, DA. First off, I want to send my condolences to the Bryant family and all the other families that lost people yesterday. I just have a quick story for you. I actually met Kobe Bryant in the summer after his first year. My girlfriend at the time was taking an Italian class at UCLA, and she calls me one day, and she's like, do you know who Kobe Bryant is? And I'm like, yeah. And so I grew up in Los Angeles. I live in Las Vegas now. So I'm like, yeah, I know who he is. And she's like, he's in my class. So I went up there the next day, and I actually got a chance to meet him. And I talked to him for a couple of minutes. He brought so much joy to my life watching him play. We're around the same age, watching him play throughout the years. And yesterday when I heard the news, I was in the Albertsons grocery store, and I just happened to have on my Andrew Bynum Laker jersey. And my wife calls me, and she's like, tells me the news, and I'm like, stop playing. And she's like, no, for real. She turned up the TV. She was watching TV and it was breaking news on ESPN. She turned up the TV and I'm listening to it and it's just heart-wrenching, man. It's a sad day for Laker Nation. Sad day. I feel bad for his family, his wife, and his other kids. I want to thank you for dedicating the show today to talk about Kobe Bryant. Huge fan of the show. Like I said, I was in tears yesterday. Yeah, that's I wish his family the best.
I think, yeah, I think we all do. Thanks, Aaron. Thanks a lot for the words about Kobe specifically. It's a cool story, too. I mean, Kobe, how many professional athletes, let alone Hall of Famers, can speak fluent Italian? That's the type of brain that he had. Of course, he grew up overseas as his dad played internationally, but Kobe was always well-cultured because of that, and he didn't necessarily fit into an American sports box, especially younger. You know, he didn't have an accent. He, of course, knew English, but he had grown up in his formative years in Italy, and he felt like an outcast there, didn't have a lot of friends. And so I think when he came back to the States and played high school ball in Lower Merion, then, of course, went to the NBA, I think he was a fish out of water. He didn't know how to be boys with a lot of the guys that were coming through the AAU circuit and coming through college hoops and young players of the NBA. He wasn't wired the same way. So I think he viewed things differently. And I believe that, you know, Kobe's desire to win was his ultimate, I will fit in, I'll show you, I'll prove it to you, I'll fit in. You'll need me on your team, and I will absolutely kick your butt on the floor. I'll show you how I can fit in. Because he oftentimes talked about being a loner, being lonely, being isolated. Across seas, he didn't fit in. And then when he came back here, he didn't fit in either because of what he had gone through and how he developed as a teenager, you know, across seas. So I think for a long part of his career, fitting in was really hard. He had a guard up. And then by the end of his career, he fit in so well, he put his guard completely down. And that's what is so hard about this, is that he finally had seemingly just hit complete peace. And there was so much for him to give others around him because he had found that peace that so few of us ever do. I really thank you for all the phone calls. This has been really nice to hear everybody weigh in. When we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls on Kobe, and also we'll interview Ian Eagle, who's going to join us coming up here on the show next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.